Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here is Danielle.
Hello.
Should I have mentioned you? Because this episode is about me.
It is about you.
So it's just, welcome to Marriage and Martinis. It's Adam.
Great.
No, Danielle. That would be fun, huh? No, not at all.
Maybe it would be.
I cannot handle this on my own. I don't think at the least.
No, well, you don't think you could ever like do an episode just by yourself?
Not about this. Not about our topics, but maybe something else. But no.
What would you do?
Like, you want me to come on here and talk about my feelings alone by myself? No, I don't think it would go over very well at all.
No, but what if you were going to make a podcast alone, what would it be about?
I guess just my interests, stuff that I kind of am interested in talking about and, you know, not feelings and stuff.
You don't want to say specifically like what that would be?
Well, I've been saying I want to do a crypto episode.
Right.
Yeah. I would love to talk about music. I would love to talk about movies. Stuff that interests me.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
We'll do it. I'll do it.
Yes. Yeah. Do it.
Sure. Okay. So we're going back to part three or part two?
I guess so. It's revisited part two.
Okay.
Complicated.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So back to the guilt episode. If you have not listened to that, go back and listen to that one. That leads us up to our last week's episode or 2 weeks ago episode.
Last week,
where we revisited the guilt episode. And now we're talking about my point of view of the guilt episode.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That last episode.
Go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead. Say it.
Say what?
What you were very nervous about?
Almost didn't want to put it out.
Right.
I asked you the night before and even the morning of. I was really nervous to put it out. I almost wanted to re-record it, just like scrap the whole thing. I knew during that episode that I talked a lot. And I said, it reminded me a little bit. First of all, maybe we should have had a discussion before it just to sort of... just to talk about it a little bit, because I think that it felt a little bit like speed dating, right? Like you have this short amount of time to talk about all this stuff that I've been wanting to ask you for so long. So it was almost like a round of speed dating. Like I was like, okay, I have 1 hour and all these questions and all this stuff I want to know, and I haven't asked him, and I'm having the opportunity to ask him, and I want to get it all out there. But at the same time, then, you know, it was very much like me just, you know, bringing up all this stuff. And
well, you had 3 years of things that were going on in your mind that you were trying to get out. And there's not enough time or room for me to even explain or talk about my point of view in anything, because I get it. I understand. You know, I think other people do who listen to it that, you know, Danielle needed to vent and needed to, you know, be inquisitive and, you know, learn things. You know, I get it. So it's not, I'm not mad at you. I don't think anybody's mad at you.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
I understand.
But I do think that's something to be said for why we need to talk about things once in a while and sort of sit down and, you know, and bring them up a little bit, not to the point of getting angry and everything, but like just, hey, you know, I want to revisit it or whatever. I have people in my life who I feel like once every 5 years, they like air a laundry list of all the things that they've been upset about with me. Maybe they're not. They're not really in my life so much, but I have had that in my life where all of a sudden you sit down and you're like, oh my God, they've been angry about this for 5 years and they never said anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it is good to just like sit down and have sort of a check-in of like a, hey, how are you doing? Is there, you know, do you want to talk a little bit? Like just like a tune-up, you know, just like.
Well, that's also what led to a lot of this where we had things that we didn't talk about for years.
Right.
That led to everything that happened in the guilt episode in my, where my mind was. And, you know, so it's just to reiterate what you were saying, it's important to come out and just talk and say what you need to say.
Yeah.
And by the way, Danielle and I both are just getting over these crazy colds, mm-hmm. and I can hear it in our voices, both of us right now. So sorry about that. It's been bad.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Very nasally.
It's weird. You know, we're still wearing the masks. So, you know, in New Jersey, we have only, I wish I had a countdown, but it's like 6 days and so many hours left till we join the rest of the country and take off the masks. And I cannot wait because I wear it all day and mm-hmm. we're vaccinated.
Yeah, you really do
wear
it all day.
I cannot wait.
Yep. Yeah, another thing I was going to say is when I was listening a little bit to the episode, you know, I think sometimes, I don't know about you, I forget sometimes that I'm podcasting, like for real. And I think that some of the beauty of what it is that like I get in such a zone that I forget. And then sometimes like I'll listen back to bits and pieces and I'll be like, oh wow, I really went there. Or like, I really said
You feel like we're just talking?
Yeah, I kind of feel so, I get so in a zone that I'm sort of like, I just say, you know, if you can think about yourself, like everybody who's listening, if you could think about yourself mid argument in your, you know, with your spouse, what you look like, what it sounds like, what if there was a video camera that was videotaping you, or you knew the audio was going to go out, or you didn't know and then you found out, like what would that look like?
I feel like, by the way, you just saying that is an amazing idea that would change the world right now.
Don't you dare.
What?
But no, like videotaping me in the morning, getting the kids ready to go to school.
I think if we videotaped ourselves fighting and then we look back on it the next day, it would be a total game changer. Like I would
for
see.
For who? For us or for other people?
No, for us. Like if people, if any couples out there, if you videotape a fight and then you look back on it 24 hours later and be like, wow.
Well, yeah. we have hours and hours of audio of us fighting.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, for people out there, if we did that, I think it would change the dynamics of the next morning when you're like, I was right. No, I was right. And here's what, you know, and you would look back on it. I think you would find like, no, here's why I was wrong. And here's where I was right. And it might be a different way of communicating these fights. That's a good idea.
And also seeing like your mannerisms, what your facial expressions look like.
Let's make an app for that.
Ugh.
Can we do that?
No, it sounds terrible. Because I know, but it's I don't want to see myself like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like because you always look back on a fight, like only at the points probably where you feel you were right. You know what I mean?
Or when you're in the shower, like, God damn it, I should have said this.
Right. But if you look back on it, you're going to be like, fuck, maybe I was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he or she had a point.
Well, that's what happened when I was listening back. I was sort of like, because I was speaking so freely, and you know, the first thing that comes to my head is, oh shit, my mom's going to hear this. And then I'm talking about you coming and fucking me and, you right. know, all the things that I would say if it was just the two of us. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, I just said that, you know, should we edit that out? And then I'm like, no, of course we shouldn't edit that out because that's what the podcast is. But then I'm also like, okay, now I got to deal with the ramifications of
Yeah, but I think at this point, whoever's listening knows what could happen or what could be said.
You would think.
So your mom's okay with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think she probably like, encourages
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Right.
Linda, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So that's just where I go when we're and that's, I think, part of the beauty of it is that nothing is unscripted. We are literally just sitting down and, you know, mm-hmm. letting our freak flag fly.
Freak flag fly.
And that's exactly what I did in the last episode. Say some that. Some of the stuff that I said, I was like, wow. Wow, I really say that. But
and I said almost
but
nothing.
It's me. Oh, so. You know, okay. Right. All right. So now it is your turn.
Sure.
Please take the floor.
Oh, don't set me up that way. How would you like to lay this out? Did you want to go?
How would you like to lay this out?
Oh, you're nervous.
Do you need a cushion for your chair?
Right.
Do you want a back massage?
Yeah, I would love a back massage.
Would you like me to rub your feet?
I would love you to rub my feet, refill my
suck
cocktail.
Your toes, whatever it takes.
Just a rub would be fine, okay. But Billy licks my toes enough, so it's okay.
I know, our dog is obsessed with licking you. Okay.
Okay, so getting started. How do you want to do this?
Well, we didn't get to a lot of the questions last time
right.
because I was really just like, it was like lightning round of how did you spend $700 and why did you do this and how could you look me in the eye and blah, blah, blah. And all those things in my head that had been building up.
Wait, I'm going to cut you off this time. How do you like that?
Go for it.
I want to know your reaction to me. I was very nervous when I found out where I spent the $700 and what happened. And I was very upset with myself and nervous to tell you. And I didn't know if you were going to be mad at me because I waited to tell you. I waited for the podcast. We didn't talk about it until I revealed it on the podcast. And I was holding it in. What was your reaction? Like, we didn't discuss this since the podcast. What I want to know what your reaction is about what I said. Because it's after I listened back, it seemed like kind of nothing. Like it was such a downer.
Yeah,
like
it wasn't a revelation.
I started out like I have this big reveal. I found out how I spent the money, and I was so nervous, and you know I felt like it was such a big deal. And then when it came out, it was kind of like, eh, like it was kind of
you
boring.
You mean the big reveal being that you that the money was spent with you going to a VIP
yeah.
room? Listen. This is an Adam episode.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down this path.
Okay.
Did it take care of my fears or make me feel? No, that's going to be a time period that, you know, I just like you being blacked out on a couch does not make me feel any better.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
But it's been such a thing for so many years that you were so unsure what really happened.
Yes, I'm still unsure of what happened.
Really?
Yeah. Well, sure. You know, listen, if someone is blacked out and they don't know what happened, you don't know what happens.
Okay.
But that's okay. You know what I mean? That's okay. Like, we're at a point now in our relationship where, like I was saying with our finances, you know, at the time we fucked up our finances. It was the best we could do. In that time period, what you were going through and what happened, it was the best you could do at the time. It was the best I could do at the time. Like, we were really struggling personally, together, with our lives, with business, with you know, being busy parents. And, you know, we were just exhausted and lost. Had it stayed like that and had it happened as a reoccurring thing and we hadn't gotten a handle on it, then I wouldn't be saying that. We would be done. We would be over.
Yeah, it wouldn't stay like that. It would
right.
Be
but the work
over.
We've done and how far we've come, I can look back at that and want to know what happened and still be upset and still be a little like that time period definitely is going to always bring up anger issues and it's going to always bring up hurt and everything. And for you too, I'm sure you've heard about me during that time, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm not concentrating on that on a daily basis at all. Whereas at one time it was all I thought about.
Right.
Now it's just like, you know, yeah, sure. There was part of me that wanted to know and wanted to get the answers so that we could sort of move ahead. But you know, I'm no longer actively angry all the time. It just like when it pops into my head, I get a little like, you know, when you get that like you like you like close your eyes and you're like, oh, when you like think about a certain thing from the past.
Even when you're by yourself and you do
that. You're just like, oh, like cringing at something you did or an embarrassing moment or something. That's kind of how I get about that. I sort of get like, how humiliating. Like how did I go through that? Mm-hmm. And how did he do that to me? But yeah.
Okay. No, I agree. I feel like kind of the same way. I have the same exact responses too. So I understand what you're saying. But you asked me about my thoughts about people saying that a spouse should just move on. Like a lot of people said to you, like, can you just move on? And I get that it's a hard situation and just moving on is not an easy experience. But when it comes down to it, it's, you have two choices, right? Like you can decide to move on and work on it or not. Right? So there's only two choices. Unless I'm missing something. Work with me here, please.
I'm afraid. I don't want to talk.
No, I need feedback. I need communication.
Well, yeah. But I also think that there are stages in between that because it's not a light switch, right? You can't go from anger to no anger.
No, not at all. When I'm saying move on, that's time. So you have to decide whether you want to move on or you want to leave and end everything. Like, I don't see more than two choices in the scenario where there was a point for us where I thought it was maybe it's time to leave. You know, maybe I'm not happy. Maybe you're not happy. Maybe we tried. We gave it our all for fucking 18 years or whatever it was. And it just, we're realizing it wasn't it. But we decided, no, we need to work on this. We need to, you know, like, you know, I looked deep down at myself and said, hey, you know, look, I love this woman. I love Danielle. Like, I don't see myself being happy and satisfied without her. So we need to work on this. But that's not to say if it's the other situation, if you really look inside and say, hey, listen, I need to leave, maybe you have to have that conversation. And that's not the wrong thing to do.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I certainly think the situation was that there must have been part of me that knew you really would work on it because I think I always knew you wanted it to be good. So like I always, you know, I say like we started the podcast and that changed our lives. And of course, people are like, well, I can't start a podcast or, you know, my husband and I, you know, we don't have time. We're not like starting a, we're not going to make it into a brand or a business or any of that, you know, but we embraced what happened rather than run from it. And I think that was the difference, that we embraced it. We didn't hide it anymore. Like there was a long time where we were hiding everything that was wrong with us. Mm-hmm. I think once we just embraced it and we're sort of like, yeah, we're a shit show, but we're working on it and we really love each other. We were really just saying what everybody else doesn't have the guts to say.
Well, that's what's really important. And
I shouldn't say everything else. A lot of people do have the guts, but a lot of people don't.
No, understood. But I don't want to, this is not like a shameless plug for our Date Night Questions book in any way, but go buy it if you haven't. So there's my shameless plug. But those questions are what led us to communicate because we never communicated before that. Mm-mm. We never had important conversations. We never had those discussions that were so important to our relationship. We just kind of like led the wayside and let things happen the way they were. And they were happening in a way that was not healthy for either of us. So those questions are what kind of led us to this podcast. I mean, I guess it was almost easy for you to come up with these questions because you had so many. Because of what I was going through, or maybe because what you were going through, or you know what you were thinking, or what you thought I was thinking, these questions are just so important that that's kind of what saved our marriage. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not—I'm not trying to plug in our book here, you know, in the middle of the episode. I'm just—that's part of—that's not part of. That's what this podcast is. That's what you send me every single week when we do this podcast. You send me these questions that I answer. Mm-hmm. And that's what we talk about.
Right.
So that's why it's so important. So communication is, I found in the last 2.5 years, is what saved us. It's just the most important thing that we've ever done to save our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Admitting it, like, that's sort of, you know, one of the things I say in the date night questions ebook is, you know, the first step is sort of admitting, like, oh shit, we have work to do. And we did, you know, we especially financially, like, you know, we are working on it, but I say that only because we're like in step one of whatever steps those is. We've admitted it. We know we're trying.
Right. And also, by the way, how you answer the questions too, and I'm just talking about the podcast here, not even if you're, I mean, yes, if you're answering those date night questions, you know, with each other, it's how you answer the questions that are so important, because I get it. Like, we both have things, little things that we keep to ourselves. We don't talk to each other about. But when it comes to these important topics and these questions, how you answer them really affects the outcome of how it's going to work for you. When we're doing the podcast, everything that I say is honest. So when you're sitting down and talking to each other and answering these questions with each other, you're going to determine how effective it's going to be or not, how honest you are answering the questions. And I've talked to people who are like, you know, I read over the questions and there's things that, you know, I don't really want to say, you know, things that I'm really don't want to be honest, or I'll be 80% honest about, or, you know, and I'm just like, dude, it's not going to work, mm-hmm. you know, not for this. I get that there's things that you don't want to divulge to your wife or your husband or whomever. But if you're going to make this work, you got to, mm-hmm. you know, get the information out.
Well, I remember there was a time when we were having fights that were so awful that I remember literally thinking to myself, I am in the twilight zone right now. Like, this is not, I don't know who this person is or what is happening right now. And it seems so crazy. But when I think about back to some of those fights, everything that I was saying, even though I was probably saying it in a really mean way, and everything you were saying, you were probably saying in a really mean way because mm-hmm. we wanted to hurt each other. Mm-hmm. The subject matter of the fights was real. Like, the content of what I was angry about and what you were angry about was real. And once it was out there, you know, I for so long was so closed about the finance stuff. Like, it took a lot of fights for me to realize, like, holy shit, he really is suffering from all this finance stuff and I need to help in some way. So, like, even though the first time we ever fought about that, even the second, the third time, I was like, what an asshole. How the fuck is he blaming me for this? And I definitely don't take all the blame. I don't think either of us do. But after a certain amount of fights and everything and thinking about it, I was finally like, he's got a point. Like,
thank you.
No, yeah. And I do think it takes, you know, they say that to convince somebody to go to therapy can take 6 years. And that's like a long time wait for someone to go to therapy. Yeah, it took you years to go to therapy after I asked you.
Is that because, you know, I have really negative feelings about therapy from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm in the, you know, not the norm because I've had the experience and did not enjoy it at all. So maybe I just didn't want to go back. So is that take play in this?
Probably. I think if you have a really bad, yeah, I think when we were going to therapy when we were younger, me too. And I think it was more like that therapy has maybe changed so much. Also, the fact that maybe our parents weren't so aware. I think, like, when our parents were younger, we were like, okay, my kid needs therapy. I know a therapist. I'll just hook them up.
Well, yeah. You know what's really funny? Think back to in Good Will Hunting when he was going to therapist. Like, those, that's what you think of. When you think of therapist, like this old man, like who's trying to either hypnotize you or talk mm-hmm. to you in this manner and like talks and like mm-hmm. that's not what it's like today.
Well, so, it depends.
Or okay,
you
so
you still have to find the right therapist.
Maybe with the research that you've done, we've found therapists that are not that way. So maybe they're not all like that. But what I found through, you know, through therapy recently was just, I just feel comfortable talking. Like, they talk to me like a normal person. They don't talk to me like, you know, look at my swinging watch and look at, you know, not that they're all hypnotists. I'm just saying that's how they speak. They're just very monotone and very, you know, like,
well, or
boring.
You can't learn anything about them, right? Like I've had some therapists that were like, I felt like they would not reveal anything about themselves because that's not professional. And I'm not good with that. Like, I need to feel like you're a person and you're a little flawed and you're gonna, you know, you're relatable a little bit. And I didn't realize that therapists like that existed. So when, you know, when I started recently, like 4 months ago with this new therapist, I was like, oh my God, this, she's a human being. I love talking to her, and she's a therapist.
Right. I want to talk about her a little bit in a, you know, further up in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, like, you know, just to round this part out, I agree, because it's almost like I met her for the first time, you know, on our Zoom call, and it was like talking to a friend, like somebody that I feel like I've known for so many years, and she just kind of gets it, and it's okay to talk to somebody like that. And I love the response, and I love the feedback, and it's just very comfortable. You feel like you're talking to a friend, even though I just met her, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
So one thing I didn't get to say in the last episode that I wanted to say and that I hope comes across in these episodes is that I do think it's really hard for a lot of people to keep growing and evolving in life. Like, I just think everything gets so overwhelming that we don't even have time sometimes to work on ourselves. We don't have time for, like, self-care and any of that. But I don't think that about you. Like, I feel like it's so impressive the way you keep wanting to, like, learn things and are willing to have new experiences. And I don't know, you're such an open person. Like, you're so open to possibility. And I don't know, how do you feel right. like that you've done with that? And how do you want to keep doing that?
Well, do you think, I think for us, we were there. We were kind of at a static
mm-hmm.
Point where We were kind of at a lull where we were both not evolving in any way. I was not growing in any way. Neither were you. And, you know, we were there, and it was just, that's what kind of maybe led us to a point of, you know, is this it? You know, is this the best that we can be? You know, and I spiraled out of control from there just because I was bored. Did you feel the same way? Like, were you bored in a way?
Well, it's so funny because we were having more fun, quote unquote fun, than we'd ever had in our lives.
Right.
We were partying. We were out all the time. We were going to fancy restaurants and beautiful hotels and gorgeous vacations and all this stuff that was fun. So I was enjoying myself in some ways. Like, it's always fun to, like, eat delicious food and go to beautiful places and all of that. But I wasn't content with myself as a person. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy where in the stage that we were. Like, it was a lot of momentary excitement and happiness. Like, oh my God, right. We're going here. We're going there.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I led us down kind of the wrong way, where I wanted us to have the best of everything. I wanted the best hotels and go out to the best vacations, the best dinners. And we were living the life that I always expected that I would have, but we couldn't afford it, I guess. And I was just trying to make it happen any way that I could. And we were having these incredible experiences. You know, we went to fucking Vegas and had, you know, what, Joel Rubichon that we went to, like, mm-hmm. the most incredible 12 course, you know, $1,000
I mean, I'd like to
dinner.
Do it again.
So would I. But, you know, I can't, you know, look at this point and be like, hey, should we go out to dinner for $1,000? Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's not going to, you know, maybe one day, but, you know, that's not where we are. As far as for me, how did I want to grow from all of this? You know, I always wanted to do something on my own. You know, I have this entrepreneurship it's like built into my DNA. Like, I've always wanted to do something on my own. And I needed to do something with all that knowledge and all of that excitement that I had in myself. And when you gave it the idea to start this podcast, that was like a light. Like, you always asked me, I asked you to do a podcast and you just said yes. And it took like a fraction of a second to think about all the things that I could do to make this podcast possible and make it thrive and make it successful. And I was like, yeah, let's do this, because I can take everything that I'm interested in, everything that I've always wanted to do, and put it into this thing. And since we've started it, I've just had this excitement in me, this entrepreneurship excitement of, I want to build this business, something that I want to do on my own, which I've really never done before. And by the way, I'm really impressed by you at the same point, because, you know, I've never seen, this is part of my, resentment towards you, that I never thought you would find something that you really wanted to do and be successful at, and this is it. But that's enough about that. This episode's about me. So I just wanted to throw that in there a little bit for you.
How do you feel about me?
No, we're not going there. This is about me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this is the Adam podcast. Uh-huh. The Marriage for Martinis for Adam.
Okay.
Yeah. This podcast has helped me grow into someone that I've always wanted to be. And it's helped me grow into something that I've always wanted us to be. And I think it's happened. It's happening, at least. Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. But my question also is that I know how people are out there saying, okay, that's fucking great. I'm so happy for you guys. My husband and I, or my wife and I, cannot start a podcast.
Right.
So,
okay. So for other people that are out there that are hitting their rock bottom, just like we did, I knew that I wanted to work on us. There was a point in our relationship where I was saying, hey, I could just fucking leave. This is easy. I could just say, not easy. I shouldn't say easy. You know, we have kids, we have a life, we have everything. I can't just say, hey, I'm out, enjoy your life with the kids. But there was a point where I was thinking to myself, it would be easier for both of us if we just separated. But we found this common ground together, something that we were both interested in and something that we can both make happen and be, you know, have fun together doing. And we worked on it. We worked, you know, that led us to being able to work on our relationship and you know, for us, communicate and talk. I don't want to go back down there because we already talked about it. I just feel like if you're at the point where you feel like you can't anymore, you can't have discussions anymore, you can't communicate anymore, find some kind of common ground. Find something that the both of you just enjoy doing together and start there. I mean, I don't know what else there is. Do you enjoy playing golf together? Do you enjoy playing cards together? Do you enjoy, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just start at that point and build the communication from there. Just talk about that thing. And then I think for us, we started having the conversations kind of small, and they snowballed in a good way and built themselves into big discussions that we both had. I don't know. I just feel like you have to find something that you're both love.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, like we said before, it's okay for you to say no, and maybe it's time for us to not do this.
Right.
That's okay. You know, like don't stay in a situation where you're both not going to be happy. I mean, what's the good and what's the point about that? Even if you have kids, I know it's so hard. It's going to be so, but yeah, you can work it out. You know, mm-hmm. you have to. You can't just raise kids forever and be miserable with each other. Like, and that I'm like having trouble with my words getting to this, but I've had all these thoughts in my head. Like, hey, if I left, how would we deal with the kids? Would the kids live with you? What days would I see them? With you know, like all of these thoughts were just rambling through my mind. And I was just, everything that I thought about was like, oh, I don't want that. You know, I really don't want it to be that way. How can I make it not be that way? And how can I make it so that we're both happy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think one of the amazing things about us and the podcast isn't just the podcast. It's the fact that we're working together to produce something. Like something that's not, you know, when we're raising kids, it's sort of like there's so much like tug of war about, well, we want to raise them this way, or we want to raise them this way, or you're being too hard on them, or you're being too easy on them, or good cop, bad cop, and all of that. But the podcast is like, you thrive in your areas, I thrive in my areas. Even if there's like, what project can you do together that's super fun, that if you both fuck it up, it's not a big deal. Like, if we fucked up this podcast, we had nothing to lose. So like, if we did it and it didn't work, okay, then we didn't do the podcast anymore, or we got divorced anyway, or whatever it was. Like, if there's something that you can do, you know, I don't know, what do you like to do? Like, can you guys, you know, start a vegetable garden together? Or like you were saying, something that you can
like
do.
Like me and your dad.
Like you and my dad. It's so romantic. He's bossy though, man.
He's very demanding.
Yeah, he is. But
Ron, I'm just kidding.
Oh, he's not listening, trust me. But, you know, something that there's very little, risk, but there'd be great reward and stuff to talk about and bonding if it did work. Like,
right.
So, even the podcast was probably more risk than what most people are doing, you know, like if you're going to put together an IKEA set or whatever, which, oh God, don't do that. But like,
why?
There's.
I used to love doing that.
I know, but if we were doing it, like IKEA is not, it's, no one wants to like work on putting IKEA furniture together. Together. Yeah.
Oh, right. That was something that I enjoy doing with you nowhere around me.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Something that there's like low risk, high reward if that happens.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about then versus now. Mm-hmm. Okay, where you asked me, you wanted me to come up with some words about how I felt then versus how I feel today. I know you talked to your sister about all this. I can read life coach Amy Alpert in this. No,
not even a little.
Really?
Wait, she didn't listen to the last episode. We didn't talk about the last episode.
This totally seems like Amy Alpert putting these questions together.
Well, maybe it's because she was helping me so much recently with like edits and stuff with other stuff that maybe the tone of her is.
I guess it's
very life coachy.
It is.
Like three words this and three words that.
This is totally your sister.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Total respect, Amy.
Well,
by the way, my
questions with this were so different because I was trying to direct them just towards you. You know what I mean? Like, usually I'm thinking about a back and forth.
You had a little bit of you in these questions.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. So you asked me to come up with three words that describe myself then, which means what, 3 years ago before we started the podcast?
Yeah, I guess even before that, you know, like that whole time period.
Okay. So I came up, do I have to explain or just give my three words?
Baby, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, however you feel.
Okay. My first word, which I think is really important, was resentful. And that's what led me to, we talked about this. I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. My resentment towards you in certain ways, my resentment towards work in certain ways, all the things that led me to get to the place where I was resentment. I was also... I don't think I spoke about this at all on the podcast, was I felt like back then there was a lot of arrogance in myself, and I was, at that time, I felt kind of on top of the world, like I was the shit, and I was, you know, working out so hard. I was working out, like 6 days a week then, you know, I was feeling good about myself. My testosterone levels are probably through the roof. Everything about what I was doing, I just felt good about. Whether it was true or not, that's how I felt. And that's probably also what led me to get to the place where I was. And obviously for my third word was lost. For, you know, everything that I was doing, I just didn't know where I was. I just, you know, for the arrogance, for the resentment, which I don't think the resentment was totally 100%, you know, false. I still, you know, I understand myself feeling that way for certain reasons, but not to the extent that I took it. But, you know, I was just, my mind was a mess. So I was lost in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So those are my three words.
And then for now, did you do now?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very different. Now, I feel motivated. I'm doing the things that I've always wanted to do, not knowing how to utilize my talents and my inspirations and my, you know, what I was so excited about doing forever. So I'm feeling completely motivated in every way. I'm feeling good, number one, about work. I'm feeling number two about the podcast. I'm feeling number three about our marriage. I'm feeling motivated in so many different ways. Not to say that everything's perfect, but I feel good, you know, in every aspect of everything right now.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. I feel inspired. That's my second word. Because, sorry. I see something in you that I've never seen before. You know, I've never seen you have passion about doing something that was, I know we keep going back to work and you working and, you know, but this is something that's, I'm so excited about that you found that you love, because I never thought you were going to find something that you wanted to do for work for, you know, forever, even when the kids were even in school or out of the house. You know, that was just a big thing for us. So I'm feeling very inspired by you, because you found something that you're so passionate about, and me the same. So, yeah. And number three, positive. And that goes back to motivated, what I was saying before. I'm feeling very positive about every yes. Not that everything's perfect. Trust me, it's not. But for the first time in my life, I am not having stress nights, not sleeping and sweating and coming into you for comfort. And, mm-hmm. you know, for the first time in my life, I feel positive. And like I said, even though not everything's perfect, I see a goal. I see, you know, we're doing the right things finally for once. And it's only been maybe a year that that's happening. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, can you see that in me? Can you see the difference?
Yeah, of course. I see all of that in you. I answered those questions for you too. And, you know, I feel like there's this openness about you that you want to, like, you love to learn new things and new skills. And even when I saw you putting together the date night book and what you put into that and how you just embraced it and loved it. And it was such an amazing partnership with that. I think we've come to a really good balance of, we both have certain skills and we're learning how to utilize those skills. So it's best for our marriage. It's best for our parenting. You know, Mia started working at your store recently.
Right.
So Mia started working at your store recently. And, you know, as far as big parenting stuff goes, like social stuff, school, that's just sort of something that I'm in charge of. And it's very overwhelming, mm-hmm. because I always say our kids are the people you are going to want into the in the world. They are great hearts, great spirits, you know, like super amazing, funny, fun human beings. Total pains in the asses. Like, so much work. They're a lot of work. And so her working at the store and being there and you being in charge of her there and everything has taken such a load off of me in some ways of, like, that's something that I don't have to think about with her. Like, right. You're all over it.
That's one of the reasons that I wanted. At first, I was hesitant. I didn't want her to work at the store. Mm-hmm. But that kind of went into my mind where it's like, hey, it would give Danielle a few hours mm-hmm. to not have to think for
Yeah. yeah.
That time.
3 or 4 years ago, you never would have done that.
Right.
You would have been like, fuck that. She can work somewhere else. I don't want to be in charge.
Well, that actually happened. Maybe a year ago, she said, you know, I want to work at the store. I want to, you know, help, you know, work. And I was like, maybe, why don't you think about something that you want to do? Go work at Hot Topic or go work at something mm-hmm. that interests you, you know? And I was kind of brushing it off like, no, I don't think I want to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have my child working for me at my store. You know, and then a year later was like, no, I mean, you know, maybe it's time. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been so good for her.
And she loves
it. And it's been the perfect stepping stone to whatever she's going to do next.
I was nervous that she was not going to be good. And it, just knowing her personality, mm-hmm. and man, was I wrong. She's fucking really good at, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, I'm sure also you've been very encouraging to her and everything. And
yeah.
So stuff like that, you know, even that, I hear the way you talk to the kids, like all the things that a few years ago, you know, there was a time when like I would walk into the family room and you were like vaping on the couch in the middle of the family room.
Right.
And I was sort of like, what the fuck? You know, like that was kind of where you were at. You were sort of like, this is my world and everybody is going to cater to it.
Yeah, part of my arrogance that I was talking
about. Right.
Yeah.
Now you are so, you are so interested in making our house an environment that works for everybody.
Yeah. And also, I just want to say, and I don't want to like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here with everything. Also, a couple of years of aging has done a little bit of this for me too. You know, at 43, am I 43?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So at 43, you know, I guess I'm just like, I don't fucking care anymore. Like, I just want to be, I just want to feel good and be happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to fight. I don't want to fight.
Right.
Like, I have no energy for that anymore. Right.
Well, it's so funny because we went to a bar mitzvah last night.
Yeah.
At a friend's house, a really good friend's house. And like, I was thinking to myself, like 10 years ago, or even like even a little less than that, we would have gone to that bar mitzvah. I would have been decked to the nines. My outfit would have been so stylish, but so uncomfortable. I would have been like taking selfies and posting on Facebook and Instagram all night. You know, you would have been like in your Varvatos outfit, right, or whatever. Like, we would have come in and made an entrance.
Right.
And last night, like, it felt so good. I just wore this like comfy cotton dress. We went in, we had a great time, and we were just like, we are not the celebrities at this party. We are just another couple.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so, it's so, what's the word? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, it just feels so, like, there's no pressure.
I know this is not a real word, but it's what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
It was alleviating.
That is, I think that is a real word.
Is that
alleviating?
A real, alleviating?
Yeah, alleviating.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not a real word to me in my mind, but that's how I feel.
Well, if hoity-toity is a word, that was one of the words that our daughter got in her spelling bee.
I will never forget that.
And you will
that.
Never forget that?
Yes.
Then you may use alleviating, even okay. if it is not a word. yeah, so, you know, I just, that to me encapsulates everything that's different about us now.
Right.
Like,
like I
we are over ourselves.
I was at work. I was at Home Depot at 6:30 in the morning. I was at work at 7 in the morning. I came home at 3 o'clock from work. I took a nap, and which I needed desperately. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning the other day, and you were already getting ready for the bar mitzvah. I got up, I went to the bathroom, I washed my face, I got myself together, I put on like what shorts and a thing that I would wear to work, and we were like, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a process before, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it felt so good yeah. to have like no pressure.
Liberating? Was that the word I was going for?
Liberating, yeah, it's very liberating.
What did I say before?
Alleviating?
Alleviating? That's,
yeah.
That should be a
that's
word.
That's like when you pee, and you're like, oh.
Right.
I think
okay.
that's alleviating.
I have a bonus word that I want to add to this, but we have to take a break. Okay. We'll come back and I'll give you my bonus word.
Okay.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, so also I have another word for my bonus word, and this may not be a real word too, but I want to use it anyway. Well, the first one is underappreciated. The second one is overexpected. Is that a word?
I don't know what that means.
Overexpected.
Wait, so you're underappreciated like, by us?
I'm underappreciated in just my realm and my being. And I feel also I'm expected of too much. Is that a way to put it?
You carry too much burden?
No, like there's too much expected of me. Like
yeah.
in a way that things that I don't know about. I have very good examples.
Okay, but what do you feel underappreciated about?
Yeah, I have all of that. So it's kind of, they kind of correlate with each other.
Okay.
I just want to know if do I give off the impression that I can do anything, or can I really? I don't know. Like, I really want to know this. Like, I feel like I am the jack of all trades, that I can do anything. I know being a small business owner, or, you know, running a business, a small business, which is very important, key part of that, is that you are responsible for doing everything. When you run a small business, you run the business. That's number one. And then secondary to that, you're a fucking plumber.
A landlord.
No, not a landlord.
A super. The super. The guy. Yeah, what's his name? Yeah. From One Day at a Time.
Schneider. Yes.
Schneider.
Right. Or Joe Pesci from the super, or the landlord.
I never saw that.
Whatever that movie was. Right. Where, like, you do everything. Like, you know, I run a party business, and all of a sudden I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician, I fix fucking ladders. Like, all of a sudden I do everything, you know. And it's the same thing at work, it's the same thing at home. Like, the other day or the other week, you were like, oh, this room gets hotter than this room. And I'm like, oh, let me go get my HVAC belt and take care of it.
I am about to go through menopause, and I'm very, very sensitive.
Like, what am I? I don't know. Yesterday, you know, we had people come and work on the water in our house, and the water shut off for whatever reason. It's like, you said to me, the water's off. Go take care of it. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me go get my plumber's belt and take care of it. Like, I don't know how to do this shit.
Well, I do think that is a little bit of the stereotypes that we put ourselves into from the beginning of our marriage that we're still slowly trying to get out of. Right?
Yes.
Like, well, I don't want to take, like, I took the kids for vaccines.
Wait, before you,
I took the kids.
But before you say this, okay. I prefaced this and forgot to say it with, okay. And remember, Danielle, be careful of your response. This is not about you today.
I'm so sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. Take that all back.
These are about
my things. Yeah. You're right. You're totally right. I'm about to be defensive and I shouldn't. Yes. Okay. I'm exactly. working on this. Okay. Go ahead.
No, but even at the store or at where, you know, it's.
I just say that.
You know, people come to me and it's, oh, the internet's down. The phones are out. You know, the bathroom doesn't, the toilet doesn't flush.
Yeah, but who are they supposed to tell?
I don't, when you run a business, it's like, oh, call the IT department or call the plumber who's on duty or call the whoever. No, it doesn't work that way when you run a small business. You know, I don't know. The phones are fucking out. I don't know how to fix a phone. I don't know. The internet's down for 3 minutes. I can't fix that. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I just don't know. Like, and it's expected of me no matter where I am. And usually I do take care of it. So am I just that fucking good? Like, can I do those things? I don't know. But I feel so overwhelmed by, like, the amount of shit I'm supposed to be able to know. Like, I'm not a plumber. I am not an electrician. I am not a ladder fixer-upper. I am not a, you know, I'm not, I don't know.
I totally.
You gotta figure it out, you know? Don't respond.
I know, I'm ready to explode. Like, I want to respond so badly.
I know, but this is so great because that's part of that mental load thing that we're talking about where you have yours and I have
right,
mine.
Right,
and
right.
And these are things you would never even think about that I think about. You know, and you have yours that I would never think about. hold it back. So there, yeah. So that's my little bonus tangent right there. Okay, you also asked me to come up with three words that would describe you throughout the period that we were going through.
Yeah, but don't feel like you have to because it's about me, and I don't want you to.
We're not going to go into it. I'll say my three words and we'll move on.
And I just have to, like, ignore it and pretend that they're really nice words. This is fucking fabulous.
No. My three words about what you were going through, you know, through that period was, number one, I said abandoned. Number two, I said sad. And number three, I said unsure. Should we get into that or do you want to just move on from that?
No, you can move on from that.
Okay. Is it make sense? Do you agree kind of with how I came up with those?
Yeah, I mean, of course, three words simplifies everything, but I asked the question.
You asked me. Right. Yeah.
Yes, but those all work.
Okay. So I do want you to respond to the next question, what you said. What three words would you describe for you now? The first one was, I said focused, which I have not seen you in a long time. Number two is determined. And the third one, which I do want you to respond to, because I have a question mark, where I said reassured.
So you want me to respond only to the third one?
Yes. I mean, you can respond to whatever you want.
Okay, so reassured means like I feel like you've proven like that.
Yeah, like are we at a place where I've reassured you that things are different than they were?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Let's move on from that.
Okay.
How do you feel
about...
I'm going
to start raising my hands.
How do you feel about what I said about being focused and determined? Do you feel differently than you would have maybe 4 years ago?
Oh, yeah. No, everything about...
Which I feel is different than reassured, by the way.
Everything about me is different, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everything about me is...
you don't have to be scared to say anything about yourself.
Can we get a buzzer that I can buzz in if I need to speak? We are both completely different people than we were.
Right. Okay. You also asked me, is there anything that I want to ask you about everything that went on during that time and from your perspective and all that? I just said no.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's move on from there. No, I get it. Like, I understand everything that you were going through. I really do. We had the conversations. We did it on the podcast. I get all of it. There's nothing I don't understand about how you were feeling. I don't think. If there is, please say yes or no.
No, I just
okay,
didn't.
Good. Okay. Next would be that you said that you know our therapist recently asked if you're okay with me sharing this stuff on the podcast, and you asked me if I really am. And if I ever wish that we did not put the stuff out there. And number one, I love this therapist. She's amazing. I really see, because you were bragging about her since you started with her. And I get it after talking to her twice.
Yeah, I had like 16 people ask if they could have her number.
Oh, wow.
After the last episode.
Yeah, she's incredible.
And she's not taking new clients. But I will tell you the secret. The secret is that you ask somebody who you really trust and who is really open about whatever they're going through. And most likely they have found themselves a good therapist. That, you know, like in our town, I would not put on Facebook, like, can I find a therapist? Because I really don't know that I would get the mm-hmm. kind of response that I want. But I know people who would know people who are like, go down the avenue of people who you would be like, I trust that they probably have a fucking awesome therapist, and ask them and just be like, I'm working on myself and or we're working on our relationship. If they ask, they shouldn't ask. But and if they, you know, what are they going to be? Wow, you're working like I fucking hope everybody's working on their relationship. So some people, I think, don't ask about therapists because they're like, I don't want anybody to know I'm going on to a therapist.
Right. The only discrepancy that I have is I don't love using the same therapist as you.
Oh, right.
I really don't.
Of course.
Yeah. I said things to, you know, she was asking me questions and I was saying things to her that I wanted a natural, real response for, but it didn't happen because she already knew the answers because you spoke to her. Does that make sense?
Yes. Except that isn't it nice that she sort of knows me and listen, if I find somebody as good as her, for you, I'm not willing to give her up.
Right. No, I get that. But
she's so cool. Like,
I'm
I feel like
so cool.
She
That's
is
what
not,
I love about her.
She like I feel like she's not judgy at all. Like I feel like about everything, like she'll say to me all the time, she's like, I need the dirty details.
Right.
And I'm like, love that you asked it like that. Not like, tell me about the timeline that took place. She's like, give me the dirty deets.
Right. Like a perfect example is where she asked me, like, what do you think? She said to me, what do you think is the worst thing that you've done to Danielle? And I answered, and I saw like the reaction that I got was like, well, I've heard from Danielle.
No, you know,
she didn't say this.
No,
she
because
didn't say
I haven't told
way.
Her very much about I haven't told her very many specifics.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, because all right. So the reaction
that is not why I am in therapy.
No, okay. So the reaction that I got kind of led me to a place where it was like, well, maybe I didn't answer the way she wanted me to. Like, because I figured Danielle already said, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I didn't say the right answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't think it was an honest response because she already knew what she thought I was going to say.
Or she was just saying, what you're saying is not that bad.
Oh, no. No. I don't think that's true at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, but trust me, I might fight you for her a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. That's the hard part.
I know.
Is that I want you to have her too because she's so fabulous.
Yeah.
But I totally get you not wanting to have the same therapist.
Okay. So, speaking of therapy, you want to talk about you asked me something from the last dating app that.
Oh, yeah, I had said, you know, when we did an episode with Liz Kaliza, who is an expert, you know, she's like a marriage counselor from the Lasting app, and, you know, she does the Gottman method and everything, and she's very, like, official. And so I asked her during our episode with her, what do you think about people, a little backstory, when you were leaving all the time to go to Atlantic City and stuff, I asked you like a gazillion times to just turn on your location services.
Right.
For a few reasons. Number one, I didn't trust you. Number two, like if you would sometimes drive home at 2 a.m. after gambling in Atlantic City all night, if you lost because you're like, fuck this, I'm not staying here, I'm going to drive home. And I needed to know if you were like dead on the side of the highway in the middle of the night or in jail. So a little bit for that. And that, like, I just was like, he's not with me. I want to know where he is. Mm-hmm. So I would ask you, and you always refused. She's like, I don't understand why you need me to, blah, blah, blah. And it became a thing. I was like, why can't you just turn it on? Like, I'm saying you can go to Atlantic City for, you know, sometimes you would go for 3 nights. I would say you'd go for 1. But I was still agreeing to it. And you never would. And when I asked Liz Kaliza about it, she was like, absolutely. She's like, if there have been trust issues, you absolutely can ask your partner to turn on location services and they should say 100%. You can go through their, you should be able to say to them, I want to go through your phone right now and they should give it to you. I want to be able to go see what you're downloading and your history on your, and she was like, for a little while, maybe not forever, but for a little while, those things need to be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, and I don't, you know, I never anymore. I'm like, can I see your phone or whatever?
Oh, please do.
No. But what I'm saying is, you know, I'm past that. Like, I don't need that anymore. But there was a time when I really, really needed that. And you wouldn't allow it.
Right. So what's so funny is I had no reason really. Like, you knew where I was. Like, there was never a point. Even when we were going through everything we were doing. What are you shaking your head at? No?
Am I allowed to speak?
Yeah, please.
Oh, no, I did not know where you were.
Wait a minute. If I would go out to dinner, I would text you from dinner.
You would text me the dinner of your gorgeous steak, yeah, with exactly. Your sides. Look at what I'm eating while you're eating McDonald's.
Right. So there was always, no matter where I was and what place I, you know, where I was in my head, I was always kind of like, I should let Danielle know where I am, what I'm doing, right?
No, I mean, I would see your meal.
Okay, but you knew where I was. You knew what I was doing. No,
because sometimes at 3 a.m. you would walk in the house and the dogs would start barking hysterically. And
you're saying when I came home.
Just in general. Like, I didn't know when you were coming home. You know, there would be times when you wouldn't text me back all day. And I'm like, where the fuck is he? You know, and I just wanted to be able to look at my phone and be like, oh, okay, he's still at the Borgata in Atlantic City, or he's on his way home, or, mm-hmm. You know, you would disappear.
Okay. All right, well, first of all, feel free to look at my phone.
Yeah, no, I have
for
no,
whatever you want.
No, I have no interest. Your life is so fucking boring.
Bored out of your mind. Right. Like, you could open up, like, my Maps app, and it would be like a Pong game between work and home. And that's all it is. And you can look at my messages, and it's like crypto texting with my friends. Like, I've got nothing. My emails are either, you know, work related or service appointments at home. Like, I have nothing. Please, by all means, open my phone right now and take a look. It's boring as fuck. Yeah.
So no, I'm asking you
oh, what?
for other partners. What do you think? You know, if someone says,
yeah, if there's a reason, like
do you wish you had let me, or do you see why I wanted to?
Yeah, I actually do, because it would uncover all of these questions that you have in your mind of where I was or what I was doing, because you'd be able to see it. And I was just being kind of, once again, arrogant in my mind, like, fuck her, no. You don't need to know what I'm like. You don't need to track me. No, I don't need to track. But had I just said yes, you would know that I was playing cards at the Borgata. Like that. That's it. You know, or I was on my way home, or I was at, you know, San Vera, you know, for dinner that night, or you know, whatever. So my own arrogance kind of led me to say no. I don't want you to track me. But had I just said yes, maybe you weren't happy about what I was doing. You would know where I was. And I wasn't doing something that was going to make you, I wasn't cheating on you. I wasn't, you know, motel or a hotel, you know, I wasn't with a prostitute or anything like that. But at this point, I still feel like you shouldn't track your partner. Like there's no reason to do that unless there is a reason to do that. Does that make sense?
You mean just like if your relationship is fine?
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be tracking each other. Let each other have a little privacy. I think that's okay.
Right.
Like if you trust each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see that you're going to, you know, take the kids to get fucking donuts or, you know, to the in Freehold. You know, like, whatever. Like, I have no interest in that. But if there's a real fear or a real reason that you should be asking each other, you know, what you're doing, then, yeah, I guess that's okay. If there's a real reason. That's the only reason to do it.
But you think that should be okay if there is? Like, that, yeah, a partner I guess, should let
like,
their...
looking back, yeah, I would turn it on for you in a second, you know, where I wasn't before.
And now, what about letting your partner look at texts and stuff?
Yeah, I think...
Or just, like, not even the actual texts. Like, who are you texting? Or... You know, depending on what it is, like just as a peace of mind kind of thing you're recovering from everything.
I think if there's a reason to have to look, then yes. Otherwise...
While you're building back up trust.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Right.
I feel like
not forever.
If it's a totally normal, okay relationship and everything is, there's no trust issues, then no. I don't think it's okay to do that to each other. I think a little bit of privacy is okay. But if there's a reason, then yeah, I think it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like looking back, I would totally be like, yeah, you should be looking at what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Thanks guys so much for listening to the episode. I'm struggling with ending this episode. I can't do this on my own. Danielle is giving me liberty for the whole episode. She's trying not to speak and trying to give me full control, and I can't do it. I need her.
You're doing great.
No, I'm not. I'm doing terrible. I can't do this on my own.
Yes, you can.
All right. On the crypto episode, I'll do it on my own without you. But for this, it's a little tough for me.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much.
Yeah, thank you so, so much. Memorial Day weekend is next weekend.
I'm sorry, what?
Memorial Day.
Thank you.
What did I say?
I think Memorial.
Memorial. Right. Oh, here's our son. Hi. Is next weekend. So if you are planning on having like a getaway with your spouse, date night questions are great. We're also putting up the bonus double date, which you can do with friends. If you're going like to the beach with friends or something, it's super fun to just like sit around and do the beach and do the questions on the beach.
And the girls.
If you're doing a girls night or a girls weekend during Memorial Day weekend. Anyway, we're going to put those up on the website for Memorial Day weekend. We are also doing a date night ebook giveaway towards the end of this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So check that out, I think, on Wednesday.
Oh.
And
more stuff I don't know about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thank you.
All right, guys.
You want to say hi, Ian?
Oh, hi, guys.
Into the mic.
Hi. All right, guys.
Do you want to say any of your bar mitzvah prayers for them?
No. All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.